Today I'm going to start expressing some of the impressions that I've had over the last several weeks. And I'm going to try and do it in such a way that will be in slow incremental bites. Because if I tried to lay it all out there, Nathan, I think, told me not to throw up on you today is basically what he told me to do. Don't throw up on them. So I'm going to try to do it in small portions. That's kind of an icky picture, isn't it? But it's kind of true. So what do you think about this snow this morning? Huh? Pretty awesome. Woo! I love it. Well, I'm looking forward to a great more coming. But I was a little disappointed. Was anyone else disappointed this morning when they woke up? I was a little disappointed because I thought we were going to have like 2 inches is what I thought. I thought, you know, they were saying 1 to 2, and I was hoping for the 2, and I was kind of, ooh, this is going to be so cool. And I woke up, and I pulled out of my driveway, and it was just, Pat's like, I didn't want 2 inches. No, it was just this little bitty covering on the road. It wasn't hardly worth worrying about, right? But was I like, oh, man, all disappointed and mad and frustrated and things like that? No, I wasn't disappointed. I mean, I was disappointed, but I wasn't upset that we didn't get 2 inches that they were calling for. You know what I'm saying? And it's kind of like that. It's going to be like that through the rest of the winter because we're going to get snow this winter. Okay, I'm just going to tell you right now. We're going to get snow. A lot of people are disagreeing with me. A lot of people are saying no and all sort of stuff. But I think we're going to get snow. As a matter of fact, at Vernon's back there, my little grandson's birthday party the other day, a couple weeks ago, Mike, Brian's dad, my son-in-law's dad, Karina's father-in-law, he was there and we were talking and stuff like that. And he was telling me that he went and bought a snowblower this year. He says he was tired last year of shoveling and shoveling and shoveling. So he went out, he was very proud. I haven't seen it, but he was very proud that he's bought himself a snowblower for this year. And his daughter quickly said, probably won't snow at all now. So I asked him, I said, so you're going to be disappointed? His name's Mike. I said, Mike, are you going to be disappointed if we don't get any snow, like big piles of snow that you can use your snowblower? And he goes, no. Not at all. No, no, that'd be fine. And he was quite honest about it. But I was like, wait a second, you spent all this money on the snowblower, because I can imagine your dad, if he gets something, he probably gets a good one. I can just imagine. I imagine he spent all this money on the snowblower, but he's not going to be disappointed if it doesn't snow. So he does all this preparation, but he's not upset if it doesn't happen. So in the next couple weeks, it's the same thing's going to happen. I'm getting somewhere, believe me. I'm just getting myself ready. I'm trying not to vomit it out on you. But so in the next couple weeks, we're going to have many predictions of snowfall. You realize that? In the next several weeks, they're going to say, you know, we're going to be getting 6 inches and 8 inches and all sort of stuff. And the same thing is going to happen. Sometimes I think the weather stations, the weathermen, and the grocery stores are in cahoots. I really do, because I think all of a sudden they'll get this surplus of milk and bread and eggs in the store, and they have to get rid of it before it all expires. And so they call up the weatherman and say, hey, will you tell them that we're going to have a big snowfall? Because as soon as someone says that we're going to get 6 inches of snow, everyone runs to the store and they buy milk, bread, and eggs. And I like bacon myself, so I get bacon too, just in case. I'm stranded without bacon. That would not be good. So we all go out and we get the stuff. And we come home, and then usually what happens, we get like an inch or two of snow. So are you like, oh man, I'm just going to have to throw these eggs and bacon and this bread all out. All right, is that your attitude about it? Do you feel like, oh man, I just wasted my money? Yes? No. It's like, yeah, it's all right. I got a little extra eggs. I got a few extra pieces of bacon. That's always good. A little extra milk in the refrigerator. We can have milkshakes now or make some eggnog or do something fun with it. That's not all bad, right? Right? All right. Very interesting concept. Hang on to that just for a little bit, okay? So this week I've been studying a lot. It's been all over the place. And this week it seems like I've hit a common little theme that I started to notice. And I wanted to jot them down. I'm just going to try and share this little portion with you this morning, okay? How did we know it was going to snow? How did we know it was going to snow? I mean, like, last week they were predicting snow. I'm back to the snow thing again. How did we know it was going to snow? Well, a week ago we probably knew because some weather forecaster somewhere was looking at the weather patterns and all sort of stuff, and they said it's going to snow on Friday or Saturday or Sunday, somewhere in that time frame. the closer it got, the closer we knew it was going to snow. But when did we know it was going to snow? When you what? When you looked out the window and you saw snow. Could you tell that even a little before? I was out hunting last night, and I was sitting in the deer stand. And when I first got out there, about 2:30 or so, it was a beautiful evening, and kind of cloudy and stuff like that. But as I sat there, I kept looking off to the west, and I kept noticing that it was getting darker and darker. And it wasn't because the sun was going down. The clouds were getting thicker. They were no longer the white, you know, fluffy type of clouds. It was starting to get dark. You could tell that it was going to snow or have some type of precipitation, right? How did I know that? Because in the past, for 48, whatever it is. I can't even tell how old I am anymore. For a long time, I've been looking in the sky, and I've been noticing when it gets dark, if it's warm and it's getting dark in the sky and dark and blue and stuff like that, I have a good idea that it's going to rain, right? So I've set a pattern. I've seen over and over again that when it gets dark in the west and it's warm out and it starts to build and the clouds start getting big, I know it's going to rain, right? Okay. And I know in the spring, when I start seeing the robins, that I know that spring is just around the corner, right? When I start seeing the robins. What other signs do we have? What are things that you know? When you see certain things, you know something's coming. Just shout them out to me. Anything. It doesn't. When the leaves start turning. Yeah, when they start to color, they're no longer green. They start turning brown and yellow and red and orange and all these different colors. I know that fall is just around. In fact, I know they're about to drop off the trees. They don't drop off the trees when they're green, do they? So I know that's going to come. What else do we know? What other signs do we see? When the flowers start to pop through the ground, we know that it's going to start getting warmer. When we see the woolly worms and stuff like that, I remember persimmon seeds. If you split open a persimmon seed, there's all kinds of different things that we've learned throughout the years on how to predict what is coming and how it's going to come. Yes? Do you realize that's a pattern that we've learned? We've looked at these different things and we've recognized what is to come. Okay? Do you realize that Jesus said that we are to do this? He said it several different times, that we are to look at the things that are going on around us. And so you know that what I'm talking about. We're going to look at some of these places. Take a look in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Verse 54. Can't say this any plainer than what Jesus does. Luke chapter 12, verse 54 says, and this is Jesus talking, he said to the crowd, just like I'm saying to you, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, it's going to be hot, and it is. He says, you hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Did you hear that? How do you not know how to interpret this present time? All right. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 16. Woo! I got like a double ding on that one. Three dings. That must be a really important one. Everyone get there really fast. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 1. Jesus just got done. What did he just get done doing? Oh, he just got done feeding the 4,000. Something pretty miraculous. And it says the Pharisees and the Sadducees, it's unusual that the Pharisees and Sadducees are once again together. They're conspiring against Jesus once again. Pharisees and Sadducees joined to the hip, come to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. And look what Jesus says. When evening comes, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red in the morning. Today, well, let me say that again. Let me just say it the way I say it. Red skies at night, sailors delight. Red skies in the morning, sailors take warning. Okay? That's basically what Jesus said in his own little way. Today it will be stormy, for the sky is red, overcast. And he says again, you know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. Did you hear that? You know how to interpret the sky, but you don't know how to interpret the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for miraculous signs, but none will be given to it except for the sign of Jonah. So some people read that and say, well, we're not supposed to be, you know, we're not supposed to be looking at signs. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying you need to be looking for what's going on around you and interpreting the signs of the times. He's saying here, he says, don't ask for a miracle. Don't ask for this great big sign that is going to, like a neon light that's going to be shining in the sky. Well, there will be a sign in the sky that's going to tell you exactly what's going on. He says, don't ask for a miracle so that you can know what's coming. He says, you know what? There are miracles basically going on around you every day. There are patterns that God has set before you all the time. And you know what? We're ignoring them. We're not recognizing. He says, you need to start interpreting the times. Start seeing what's going on around you. Stop sticking your head in the sand. Open your eyes. Open your hearts. But most of all, open your spirits to what's happening in our days right now. Because what's happening in our days right now is telling us what is to come in the near future. Okay? Now some of you are saying, oh boy, here we go. Here we go. This is going to be one of those sermons. Listen to me. Okay? Listen to me. I understand what I'm just about ready to read in Matthew 24. Okay? I understand. Take a look with me in Matthew 24. I get it. I understand it. I'm not saying anything weird or out of the ordinary here. I understand what Jesus says very plainly in Matthew 24 when he says this. Let me see if I can find it. Verse 36. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Nobody knows, okay? I'm not saying the day is right here. I am saying read what's going on around us and prepare. Very simply, take a look in Matthew chapter 24, verse 28, what Jesus says. And a couple other instances here real quick before we move on. Matthew chapter 24, he's got this whole discourse on the signs of the end of the age. If Jesus is giving you this idea of the signs of the end of the age, why do you think he says, here are the signs of the end of the age? Why would he give you those signs? Why would he give you these things to look for? If he doesn't want you to look for them with your eyes, with your heart, with your spirit, why does he give you those things if he doesn't want you to discern what's going on around you? He wants us to observe. He wants us to watch. Why? So that we can be prepared. Look what he says here in verse, I love this one. This is so weird because I'm just going to give you a quick story. I was looking at this kind of stuff a couple weeks back, and I was actually talking to Andrea about it, I think, in the office, kind of yelling through the wall at each other like we do a lot of times there in the office. I'm yelling at her, she's yelling at me. Not yelling, but we're talking loudly because there's a wall in between us. And we were talking about all these things, and all of a sudden, Nathan walks in, and I don't even know. It was so out of context. It was so weird. He comes walking in, he does his little, you know, little thing when he comes walking in. And he walks in and he goes, I just read the most weird passage. He says, I know I've read it before, but I've never really noticed it before. It's so strange. He says, I'm going to see if you guys know this passage. And he didn't tell us what the passage was. And all of a sudden he goes, where there's a carcass. That's what he says. Where there's a carcass. And Andrew and I both look at him and says, the vultures will follow. And he looked at both of us like, we don't know our Bibles. He's like, wow, you guys knew that verse. Yeah. It's the same type of thing. Look what it says in verse 36 here. It says, wherever there is a carcass, the vultures will gather. Now, how do we know? It's basically the same thing. Interpreting the signs. Interpreting what you see and knowing what is to come. Okay? So if we see a whole bunch of birds circling around in flight, looks like they're getting lower and lower, and all of a sudden the birds are gone, what do we assume? That there's a dead something somewhere. As a matter of fact, when I was guiding for deer hunters, most of them were not very good shots. And they would make bad shots on deer all the time. It was like one of these terrible things. And we would track the deer as far as we possibly could. We'd follow the blood trail as far as we possibly could. But a lot of times we wouldn't find them because they wouldn't make good shots on them. And so we'd say, okay, well, we lost another one. And so we'd go back to the cabin, and they'd be all upset and all frustrated and stuff like that. And us guys, we'd have the same response. Okay, you go home, go back to New York or Florida, wherever you live at. What will happen is in a few days, we'll keep our eyes open. When we see vultures circling, we will go and find out what they're circling over. If it's the deer that you shot, then we'll make sure that we cut off the head and the horns or whatever and send them off to you. How do we learn that? Because we know that wherever vultures circle, where there's a group of them, we know there's a carcass. We interpret the signs and we act accordingly. Yes? Yes? Okay. Jesus says it so many different places. Look in verse 42 of Matthew chapter 24. It says, therefore, keep watch. Listen to what it says. Therefore, keep watch because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. Verse 44, so also be ready because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. But he says, be ready, keep watch, keep your eyes, your ears, your attention focused on what's going on around you. I love the parable of the 10 virgins. Today, Nathan is the one who pointed this out to me this morning. The parable of the 10 virgins. Just read it real quick in chapter 25. It says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. And the bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At this point in time, I'd like to yell, wake up, but I won't do that. At midnight, the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out. And no, they replied, there may not be enough for us both. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with them to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came and said, sir, sir, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, I tell you the truth, I don't know you. What Jesus says again, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Matthew 24, 42 is the same thing about a fig tree. He says, when you see the leaves come out, he says, you know that it's getting ready to get figs on it. So, what's the point, Elvin? What's the point? Do I think Jesus is coming? Yes, I do. I absolutely, positively do believe Jesus is coming. Do I know when? No, I do not know when. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure that as soon as I think I know when, that's probably not when I can almost guarantee when I think I know the day when he's coming, I can pretty much guarantee you, you're safe to go do something else on that day because he's not going to come on that day. Okay? As soon as I think I know when he's coming, that's exactly when I know he's not going to come. The point of the entire thing is, be ready. Be ready. Live your lives in such a way that he's coming. This summer I was mowing lawns for Joel Dickinson. And I'd go down south and I was mowing and stuff like that. And I'd look at the forecast before I would go. And they'd say sunny and clear and nice and it was going to be wonderful. So I'd take off and go start doing my mowing. Three times this year when I went to go mow, I'd always look. In fact, I even got it on my phone. You know, I can pull it up and hit underground weather at any point in time. And I'd check it constantly. Three times this year. I was out mowing, and I would look off to the west, and I would see these dark clouds coming. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding. It wasn't supposed to rain today. So I had two choices. Three times this happened. So I had choices at that point in time, three times this summer. I could look at the clouds, and I could say, oh, those aren't dark clouds. It's not going to rain. I did that the first time. Oh! There's only a 40% chance. I'm not going to get wet. So I went ahead and mowed. That day, at the end of the day, I was so soaking wet and cold. Freezing. I could not wait to get back in the truck and turn on the heater on high because I was so wet from ignoring the black clouds. I was actually pretty upset with myself because I kept thinking, oh, it'll stop soon. I literally did. I would mow one lawn, and as soon as I get done, it'd start to let up, so I'd think, oh, it's done. And I'd go to the next one, and I'd think, oh, it'll be all right. And I'd mow, and then as soon as I'd start mowing, it would just pour down again. And this happened like all day long for me. You'd think after a little while, I'd get smarter. At the end of the day, I was soaked all the way to my underwear. I mean soaked completely. The next time it happened, I saw the black clouds in the sky. I said, I am not going to get caught like this again. And so I went to Dollar General. I went to Dollar General, and I bought a poncho. I bought a poncho, one of those little cheap $2 ponchos, and I had the little poncho with me, and I had this little package and everything. And guess what? It didn't rain. Did I get home that day and think, man, I just spent $2 and I didn't ever even get to break my poncho out? Was I upset? Not at all. Not even one little bit. The third time this year, I went out and I saw the clouds rising and it wasn't supposed to. And I didn't have my little poncho. And I thought, not again. I thought, okay, Eldon, I have a choice right now. I can not go buy anything and possibly get soaking wet and completely cold and have a miserable, horrible day. Or I can go spend a few dollars and go buy another poncho. Just like the one I have at home that's in the little package, but it's at home and I'm not at home. I can go spend the money again. Guess what you think I did? I went and spent the money. I went and bought another poncho. And guess what? It rained. And I was so happy to be in my little poncho. What's the point of this? Get prepared. Start looking at the signs. I'm going to share something with you, and I'm a little bit nervous about doing it. But so you say, okay, so what are the signs? So what am I supposed to be looking for? What? Open my eyes. Tell me. Well, it's pretty plain. Jesus gives us all kinds of different things that we can be looking for. He says very plainly in chapter 24 of Matthew and in Luke and several other places, he gives this entire list of all these different things that you can look for. It says, let's see. Should we just, you want to read chapter 24 or do you want to read that on your own? You want to read it? All right, I'll read it. I'm not a very good reader, but I'll read it. So as Jesus, let's just start at verse 1. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him and called his attention to the buildings. There it is again. To the buildings. Do you see all these, he asked. He says, I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him in private and said, tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign? They're asking again, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And they have a whole different idea of what they're talking about. They're thinking about this earthly kingdom that Jesus, they thought, was coming to set up and things like that, you know, get them out of the Roman authority. And Jesus answered, watch out for no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Wars and rumors of wars. But see to it that you are not alarmed. Okay? Not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and earthquakes in various places, and all these are the beginnings of the birth pains. Okay, so I didn't intend to do this, but stop right there. So have we had wars? Yes, we have. Have we had kingdoms rise against kingdoms? Yes, we have. Have we had famine? Yes, we have. What about various plagues and earthquakes and different things like that? Have those happened? Yes, they have. So what does that tell us? It tells us that Jesus is coming. But you know what? People, 1,000 years ago, there were wars and famines and earthquakes and different things like that. And guess what? They were saying, Jesus is coming. And you know what? They hopefully got themselves prepared for Jesus coming. They went and bought a poncho. Are you seeing the connection here? They went and bought a poncho. Did they waste their money preparing and buying a poncho and changing their lives, interpreting the times and changing? Did they waste their time? Did they waste their energy? Did they waste their resources preparing for Jesus to come? No. Not at all. Do you know why I say that? It's because I am a recipient of their poncho buying, of their preparation. They didn't waste their time. Okay? Look what it says. After a long time, oop, I skipped a page or two. Or three. And verse 9 says, then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you'll be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith. At that time, many will turn away from the... These are signs, remember? At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come. So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand, recognize the signs. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the roof of his house go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one stand in the field go back to get his cloak. How dreadful it will be on those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great distress, unequal from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. Sometimes I worry when I read like this. I'm afraid I'm going too fast and people just kind of tune out. There's important stuff going on here. See, I have told you ahead of time. Why did he tell us ahead of time? So that we could see the signs, so that we could prepare ourselves. So if anyone tells you, there he is out there in the desert, don't go out. Or if he says he's here in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible evil from the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there is a carcass, the vultures will gather. You go on, it says, immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory, and he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call. Oh, Lord, I'm getting all these things going on right here. Whew! With a loud trumpet call. Oh, my. And they will gather his elect from the four winds, from the one end of the heavens to the other. And now learn this lesson from the fig tree. Here it is again. Learn the lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it's near. Right at the door, I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass. Is this it? No, this isn't it. You see, God, just like when Andrea and I were talking in the office, and Nathan came in and was talking about the exact same thing that Andrea and I were talking about, had no idea. Just when that kind of stuff happens, there's a coincidental thing that happens, but it's not coincidence. That's God saying, yes, yes. Pay attention to what's happening. Okay. So is this it? Just these signs? No. I don't believe it is. I think God is speaking to us every single day. I think God is trying to communicate to us so that we'll open our hearts, we'll open our minds. We will start living a life that will glorify him. We'll stop wasting time. We'll stop looking at the clouds thinking, oh, I don't really need a raincoat. No, you need a raincoat. Prepare yourselves today. Start investing in Christ's return. What do I need to do? What do you mean invest in Christ's return? Getting ready for his return. You know what? First and foremost, you got to have Christ in your life. You got to have a personal relationship with Jesus. You need to claim, you need to make him the Lord of your life. You need to seal that deal right now. Because if you don't seal it, It's never going to be sealed. You need to bring Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life. You need to accept him as your personal Lord and Savior. You need to be washed in a watery grave. Make that a done deal. Wow, then I'm done. Then I can just go do what I want. No, that's not even close. That's not close. You've got your fate sealed. You know where you're going to go. The preparation is the people around you. It's time to start getting serious about your relationship with the people around you and helping them find the same faith, the same hope, the same future in Jesus. We can't waste another day. Well, he might not come back tomorrow, Eldon. Okay. So let's just get this in our head. I did this with Nathan the other day. So if Jesus was to come back, if you knew, okay, as soon as I say you knew he's going to come back tomorrow, he's not. Okay, well, he might. I don't know. Oh, I'm so confused. So if you knew that Jesus was going to come back tomorrow, would it change your life today? Would it really? Would you do things differently? If you knew that Jesus is going to come back tomorrow, would it change it? Would you do things different today than you would if you didn't think he's going to come back tomorrow? You would. Okay. Well, what if I said he's going to come back next week? Would that change the way you live out this week? No? God bless you, little brother. Probably not. He'd still climb a tree. He'd still have a good time. Would it change your life this week? Okay, what if I said he's going to come back next month? Would it change how you live this coming month? Would you think about it a little bit more? Yes or no? It would? It would change your life this month if you thought he's going to come back at the end of the month? Okay, what if I said 6 months? You see the pattern we're getting into here? Okay, so where is it that you all of a sudden decide, is it a year? Is it 2 years? Is it 5 years? 10 years? If we found out that he was going to come back in 10 years, and we knew he was going to come back, is that the point that you say, nah, I'm just going to keep living my life the way I want to? Yeah. Is that it? Think about it. I'm just laying it out there on the table for you to examine it. It's 10 years? 15? 20? When doesn't it matter to you anymore? When doesn't it change your life? When doesn't it change your priorities? When does it make an urgency in your life that, oh, he's 20 years out. I got plenty of time. I can waste a few hours now. That relationship really isn't that important to me. It's no big deal. The thing is, I don't know. I don't know. And I'm not saying that to be scary. I'm saying that to just reprioritize our life. And I think Jesus tells us to watch for the signs. I think he tells us to keep our eyes and our hearts and our minds open to see what God is doing, to interpret the times so that we will have those wake-up calls that would get us off the path that we're on right now. Because let's say we're on a path that's just going like this. It's not a bad path. It's not going, let's just say it's a level path. We're not even declining. We're just on this level path just like this. And all of a sudden we see a sign, and all of a sudden that sign wakes us up. Maybe it's a blood moon. I don't know. Maybe it's just something that wakes us up. And we're on this level path, and it's not a bad path, but all of a sudden we see the sign that Ray goes, oh, gosh, Jesus is returning. He's going to come back someday. And all of a sudden, he bumps my path off this straight line into a new dimension, into a new heightened awareness of his return. And all of a sudden, it inspires us and encourages us to get out there and do what we should be doing all the time, but we're not doing it all the time, but it just encourages us to reach out a little bit heavier, a little bit harder. Is that a bad thing? I bought a poncho. Is that a bad thing? No, it's not. It's not a bad thing to get bumped, to get reminded, to see something that's going on and say, ah, I forgot. I'm living my life like nothing's ever going to happen, but guess what? Something is going to happen. It is. When, I don't know. But I really don't want to take a chance. I see the clouds getting dark. I see the love of most growing cold. I see things that God's Word speaks about, and I'm sure people have been saying this for 1,000 years, but I see it, and guess what? My eyes are open. What's happened to me in the last several weeks, last 5-6 weeks, is God has opened up my mind to a whole nother area. And it's through a couple books that I got to read. If I was just reading a book, I wouldn't be worried about it, but it's a preparation that God placed in my life before that book ever got into my hands that has made me aware, that has made me see not just not just the typical things. It's put an urgency in my heart. Am I wasting time still? Yeah. But not nearly as much. Do we need to get serious about what we're doing as a church, as individuals? Yeah. I don't know when, but I know how He's coming. And I want to be ready. And no matter what preparation we take, I don't think we'll ever regret it. I'm not talking about gathering a group together and cowering in fear. I'm talking about going out and investing. I'm talking about going out and being bold. And the more you see the signs, the bolder you become. The more you're made aware that the day is getting closer, and it is, the more urgency you have, the more expectant we become. And we need to be. The less we keep gathering things for this earth and building up a storehouse and baking bigger barns, building up a bigger retirement, having bigger and better toys. Is this sounding familiar? To investing in those who know and need to know Jesus. Because that's what's going to last. That's what's going to be there for eternity. I heard a really cool concept. I'm done. But I heard a really cool concept, and I never thought about it this way. I don't know if I can get it all out correctly. But it really has struck me. I got to get it in my head. I don't remember where I read it or who said it or anything like that. So I'm plagiarizing someone somewhere, okay? I don't know who it is. But they're talking about the day of judgment and why the day of judgment, that, you know, why is it going to wait until Christ returns? I don't know the wind falls or how that all happens. I don't know. I won't even pretend to say this is how it's going to be. This is the order of everything that's going to happen. I don't know. But the day of judgment, where we stand before the judgment seat of God, and we have to give an account for our lives, the good, the bad, the ugly, every word, every thought, every action that we've taken, every penny that we spent, we give an account for. And some people says, you know, well, you know, why is that waiting? Why don't we just experience, you know, when we die? And it says, because our ledger hasn't been completed yet. My ledger hasn't been completed. And I said, well, what do you mean? Like Martin Luther, the guy who started, he didn't want to start the Lutheran Church. In fact, the last thing he wanted was a church with his name on it. The Reformation. Was it Reformation? Yeah, the Reformation. The guy who started the Reformation. You know what? His ledger is not done yet. Calvin, is that a good guy? His ledger is not done yet. You know, I'm really good at church history. Can you tell? Richard Cook, His ledger is not done yet. Because the impact that he had and these other men and women have had on other lives is still compounding. Okay? It's still compounding. His ledger is still being boosted up by lives that are being saved. Because the person that he saved two more, and those two people saved six more, and those six saved a dozen more. And you know what I'm saying? That ledger is being built up and being built up. And you know what? That's the investment that we need to be making right now. I need to be investing in those lives that my ledger will be built up. Not that I'm ever going to have a ledger that's high enough to outweigh my sin, because my sin is like way over anything that I could ever do. But that's what Jesus did. He paid for that sin so that I might build up a ledger of blessing in heaven. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. He says, build up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy. And that's lies. It's souls. I can see the signs that the day is growing close. Next several weeks, we're getting ready for the preparation of Jesus' birth. And we're going to look at it from a very different perspective this year, in preparation for Jesus' return. We're going to open our eyes to what he's doing in the past, so that we can see what he's doing in the present and what he's going to do in our future. And it's glorious. It's amazing. And it will encourage you and inspire you for today and spur you on for tomorrow. Are you ready? I have no idea how this is going to work. I have no idea what he's got in store for us. But I am so ready. Amen? This morning we're going to sing a song like we always do. It's always a really good song. It's always got a really good message to it. I have no idea what it is today. What is it, Nathan?
We're going to sing Surrender.
What a wonderful song. Because today you do need to surrender. Maybe some of you need to surrender for the very first time. Maybe you need to make that decision that needs to be made right now that is done once and for all, so that you know where you're going. And that decision, once it's made, it frees you up to do all kinds of cool things in preparation for Christ's return. You don't have to worry about his return anymore. You don't have to be afraid when the clouds open up and the trumpet sounds and he comes down for the entire earth to see at one time so nobody has any doubt. You don't have to worry about that day because you put Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life. There is no fear in that day. At all. It's done. You can decide that today, making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. Maybe you need to surrender the rest of your days. Maybe you made that decision and you've been on this path that's just going like this. Maybe today, just by what we've read or something that's been said, maybe it was a poncho thing, I don't know. Maybe all of a sudden you woke up and said, you know what? I need a poncho. I need to prepare. I need to reach out. I need to do those things that God's called me to do today. Respond to it. Surrender. Give your life to him. Stand and sing.